Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
Take a map and trace the three journeys of the Apostle Paul throughout the Middle East, and you will quickly acknowledge, considering how difficult travel was in the first century, that covering the distances he did was no small feat. On his third journey from somewhere in Greece, Paul sat down and wrote a letter which he sent to Rome with a fellow traveler whose name was Phoebe. Now, Paul had been a Christian for about 20 years, so say historians, 20 drama-packed, action-filled years, which took him from his home in the Tarsus Mountains eventually to Rome, where he pleaded his case and eventually lost. Some have said that Paul was the greatest credential Christianity ever produced, and I wouldn't argue with that claim. The book he wrote from Greece is powerful. It demolishes the logic of those who leave God on the sideline. It answers the questions of why we have tsunamis and earthquakes, why men castigate the sins of others and allow the same ones in their own lives, hated by Jews because they thought that he had betrayed them, and persecuted by those who disliked the changes that his gospel wrought in the lives of those who responded to his teaching. He was often beaten, thrown in prison, or driven out of the city. Yet he advised, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry," he said, "feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." His advice was not a matter of dishing out high-sounding platitudes, a do-gooder who wrote from the cloister or behind a strong wall. But he bore the marks of a street fighter, a gladiator who had taken hits from the enemy without taking his sword from the scabbard. In closing, two questions. How could Paul do that? And ask, can I have the same confidence that he had? First question, why was he able to respond to trouble as he did? I've concluded it was because he was secure in his relationship with God. Read the last half of Romans 8, where he says, "I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." He was secure. He knew who held the reins of his life and controlled the future. Next question, can you have this same confidence today? What's your answer? In this same letter, Paul told us there is no respect of persons with God, none. God doesn't play favorites. He treats his children all the same way. Now, if you believe that, you can have the same confidence that he had. As Paul wrote to the Philippians, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." May I suggest that you get acquainted with Paul's letter? It takes only an hour to read it at one sitting, or you can read it in a week, reading 10 minutes a day. And believe me, that hour can help you gain an understanding which will lay a foundation of confidence in your life, one that cannot be shaken, because you know who controls your life and your future. And that's good news.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. For more practical and inspirational messages, visit guidelines.org. If you find our devotionals helpful and would like to share them with others, consider supporting our ministry with a donation. Again, that's guidelines.org. Thanks for listening to Guidelines for Living.